Hello and welcome to Weekend Let's Hear It on WMUK. I'm Cara Lawrence. Thanks for joining me. American jazz pianist Cyrus Chestnut is scheduled to appear on the Fontana series on Saturday, December 8th in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. He and his quartet will be grooving on tunes from A Charlie Brown Christmas and other holiday favorites. As a very young boy, Cyrus Chestnut was performing in services at church where his father was a gospel organist. 9-year-old Cyrus discovered an album by Thelonious Monk and thus began his serious pursuit of jazz music, although he also pursued his classical studies at the Peabody Preparatory Institute. Mr. Chestnut has recorded dozens of solo albums and has appeared as a guest on hundreds more. I spoke to him recently about his upcoming appearance on December 8th. Mr. Chestnut, thank you for previewing your concert with me today here on WMUK.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a great pleasure and a great honor to talk to you.
It's just been much too long since you were back in town, and there's a lot to catch up on, I think.
Oh, boy.
Where to begin? My impulse is to actually start with the fact that under your name, as we were talking through email, I saw instructor of jazz piano and improvisation at Howard University under your name. I would like maybe to talk a little bit about education first, taking your long experience as a jazz player and someone who learned so much from his mentors and putting that to good use with young people today. How long have you worked at Howard University?
Well, I've been there since, I guess, 2014, and so it's been great. It's been really, really great. The challenge is to bring academia to the street and bring the street to academia. So, you know, as I go and share my experiences, I have to find a way how to do it in a theoretical way, but yet still encourage the student to really deal with conception, to bring the heritage and the culture that jazz, you know, of jazz, so that the student doesn't go away just being just educated, but not really being able to go through the motions, but not really to emotionally really be able to move people. I think that's what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm. I think that for many musicians in generations previous, you know, the learning process was through making mistakes in live performances, working with older musicians who told them how it worked, and finding the fire inside themselves.
Yes.
So in some ways, a university setting can be a little more impersonal.
Right. All right. Well, you know, when it comes to improvisation, spontaneous composition, you got to teach a person how to communicate musically. You know, as if one would study a language, you teach one how to basically communicate, how to use words to get their thoughts and feelings across. And so, of course, we can learn basic processes, but it takes something to be able to really get your thoughts, you know, the emotion behind the word. You can understand the word, but when you understand the motion of the word,
are you proud to be associated with an historically black university like Howard University?
I am ecstatic. I'm ecstatic. You know, it's great to be able to. It's great just to be able to share, because not only am I able to share with kids, I'm learning myself. So I always tell them this. I say, look, y'all learn all you want. It's here. But if you don't, I'm going to learn it for you.
Are your students all pretty well versed in music, or some of them trying things for the first time?
It's a combination of both. And so it's fun. Not only am I teaching jazz piano, I'm teaching basic piano. So it gives me a whole different perspective. And so needless to say, I love coming to teach. I teach because I want to teach, not because I have to teach. And I think when you have that type of, when you approach it that way, it's just that much sweeter. It's really a beautiful thing to see the light bulbs go off in the student's head, you know?
Yeah. So. You'll have to bear with me a moment. I just want to mention a person who came to school at Western here, Rufus Ferguson. He grew up on the other side of the state, you know, in the Black church. And there were so many great gospel organists ahead of him that he couldn't even start playing the keyboard. He was playing guitar with the worship bands, because the tradition is so strong in certain places. Free form style that raises everyone's hearts in the Black church, and he brought so much of that to the jazz program at Western that it almost changed our town a little bit.
Oh wow!
And I know that's somewhat parallel. I mean, this is a tradition that you come from too.
Yeah, well, you know, that's for me, honestly, the church is pretty much my first school. Before going to the Peabody, I was already learning certain concepts about playing music in church.
About how to hold an audience?
Basic things like ear training.
Oh, yeah.
You know, here's a great great example of ear training. Ear training. Someone would get up and start singing. They would not tell you what they were doing. They just would start singing. And so, you know, so I had to figure out what they were doing. And, you know, and go forward from there.
Find those pitches and mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, gratefully, I was able to, I was born with perfect pitch, so my ears were sharp. But yet and still, you know, I had to really get it. You really had to get it together, you know.
Sink or swim.
So ear training, how to accompany people. You know, I played behind soloists. I played behind choirs from a very young age. And even in the closing, when the minister were closing, sometimes they were getting what you would call a hoop. And so it was kind of like a singing closing. So as they would say a phrase, you know, I was kind of like the amen corner, the musical amen corner.
Did you say you went to Peabody and you were still like single digit age, 9?
I was at the Peabody Preparatory at 9.
Isn't Leon Fleischer at that institution?
Yes. Yes.
Did you study classical music as well as jazz?
Oh yeah, I was classically trained.
So that's why your taste seems to be so wide.
Well, I'm gratefully I have had a lot of various different been exposed to a lot of different music. So, you know, I try my best to be able to not limit myself whenever I sit down to play. It's all there. And so I reserve the right to choose whatever influence I would like to use at any given time, and it doesn't have. I could play a hymn and still play it in a jazzy way, or else I could start a jazz standard and open up with a classical infused introduction. So, just finding a way how to put it all together and make it something that's original and that is me.
One of the things that's so great about jazz is you can save any situation. If you're sitting at a symphony concert and something goes terribly wrong, it's like a ship going down. But a jazz musician can kind of correct the course and get something completely new out of it because of that improvisation.
Well, you know, it's improvisation for me is spontaneous composition. It's active composition, spontaneous navigation. And so when you're on a journey, you know, you have a basic way of what you want to go and how you want to do it. But sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes you have to you unfortunately get a little detour. And if that's the case, okay, well, you just have to change it right then and there. It just doesn't stop saying, oh my gosh.
Of course, you're interacting with other people on stage, and you will be on December 8th. So it's not posted yet who you're bringing with you. Do you know who your partners will be?
The Charlie Brown Program will be a quartet, and it will consist of Eric Wheeler on acoustic bass, Chris Beck on drums, and Stephen Carrington on saxophone.
A saxophonist.
Yes.
What is your relationship with these players? Does it go back a ways?
Well, you know, we work together. We're great friends, but we have worked together for a while. Mr. Wheeler and Mr. Beck is a part of my latest record entitled Kaleidoscope, which really is, I think, a kaleidoscope. There are interpretations of Eric Satie, Maurice Ravel, Claude Debussy, as well as Deep Purple. There's a little spoof on Smoke on the Water.
We need to talk about Kaleidoscope. This is another example of your wide-ranging taste and approach. Beautiful, beautiful music of the early 20th century, which I know and love as classical pieces. They just suggest so much to you. They're a great starting point for you.
Yes, I mean, you know, everything is, I like to be able to just, I offer no disrespect to the composer. I always say that. It's not my intent to disrespect the composer. It's not my intent to fix whatever. I like to think of myself as an interpreter. And I think I reserve the right to simply just interpret. I'm not trying to, it's just a different point of view. And I always say this too. Last I heard, well, we still live in America where conceptually, we are free, so, you know, so therefore, you know, I believe I should have the right to be able to just offer a different point of view.
I'm thinking back to your statement about improvisation. And, you know, I could swear that sometimes I hear jazz players not really composing in the moment, but going through a series of pre-planned and pre-practiced phrases. If you ever see musicians like this, you have suggestions for how to get beyond that sort of plateau.
Well, I'll give you a story, a fast story about what Betty Carter told me. One day in Emeryville, California. I was playing with her at Kimball's East. I started playing this song, If I Were a Bell. I did it the exact Miles Davis arrangement, right to the letter, right to the note. She looked at me and she says, I don't have you here to play something that I heard before. I know it better than you. I was there. She says, I didn't hire you to play something for me that I already know. So, you know, you just have to, when you hear something like that, just basically tell a musician, hey, I already heard that before. What do you have to offer?
Mm. So that left you with a big project on your hands, I guess.
It's an ongoing project, you know. To find myself once again, Betty Carter. Jazz is about finding out who you are. So, you know, who am I? That's the journey.
Can you ask yourself that question before stepping onto stage every night?
I ask it every morning when I get up. You know, that's the thing. That's what you do. Just keep it going.
You've been recording about an album a year just about for the last 6, 7, 8 years. They run a wide spectrum, African Reflections, Kaleidoscope, which has the classical sound. Cyrus Plays Elvis Presley is another one.
Yes.
Are you going to keep up the frequent studio sessions, do you think?
Well, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. We shall see. That's if it sometimes it happens that way, and sometimes you have to take a break. So, and keep it running as long as it can.
What is the balance you have of, you know, being at home, which at home in Brooklyn, New York, the balance of teaching and the balance of going out on the road?
Well, you know, there's no dust. There is no dust that is under my feet. So get home, get a little sleep, then get back out. Go teach and get back out and get on the road, you know.
That's very full. Very full life.
You keep it moving. You keep it moving.
Okay. Well, when you're home in Brooklyn, New York, take me down the street. What's a place you like to visit, or a great bakery or another jazz club that you like to play at? What's something you like to do when you're home?
When I'm home, I like to rest. I like to do something completely different from music. Clean up, you know. Do something completely different.
Watch movies, listen to the radio.
Yeah, you know. Go out, walk. You know, go visit my parents, cut grass, you know. Do something completely different. I spend a lot of time with music, and I love it, don't get me wrong. But, you know, sometimes you have to kind of step out every once in a while.
Do you have a favorite Christmas tradition? Or was there one in your family growing up that you think of as very special?
Not that I know of. Not that I think about it, no. I mean, we would always be together, but nothing like drinking mistletoe or anything. As you know,
you don't drink mistletoe.
I mean, what am I saying? Oh, goodness. You know, I always say drinking eggnog or hanging out under the mistletoe.
That makes more sense.
Well, there you go, improvisation, you see?
Well, finally, give us, if you have any hints about what we can expect on December 8th, tunes we're going to love, something you have up your sleeve. What can you share it with us, please?
Well, first and foremost, it's my intent to send one away feeling better than they arrived. That's first and foremost. The program, you'll hear music of Vince Guaraldi. You'll probably hear a little bit of Eric Satie. You might hear Deep Purple, you know. But the audience that come, the music that will be played will be designed for their ears and their ears only. And I say that honestly. The music will be played in the moment, even if it's tunes that we have and song, tunes or arrangements that we played before. When it comes to playing in the moment, that's what we shall be. And those, when it comes to the 8th of December, the music will be played for the 8th of December. And those who are there at the recital hall will hear something that has not been heard anywhere else. The notes, rhythms, and harmonies, the rhythms, melodies, and harmonies will be designed for those ears and those ears only at that time.
Well, don't make it look too easy, because I know Kalamazooans love to see the work, love to see you sweat.
Oh, no. We work hard.
I know.
We work very hard.
Yeah.
We work very hard.
I have sure enjoyed talking these last 20 minutes with you, Cyrus, and I know the crowd is just going to eat it up on December 8th. Thank you so much for talking with me today.
All right, thank you so much, and I'm looking forward to coming.
I spoke with the great jazz pianist Cyrus Chestnut, who teaches music at Howard University and is arriving in Kalamazoo with three of his favorite sidemen to perform on the Fontana series on Saturday, December 8th. Details are at the Fontana website, fontanamusic.org, and you're listening to Weekend Let's Hear It on WMUK. From the 2018 release Kaleidoscope, here's Cyrus Chestnut and his trio with Eric Satie's Gymnopédie No. 1. That's a famous classical piece by Erik Satie, his Gymnopédie No. 1, arranged for jazz combo by the great pianist Cyrus Chestnut, who's coming to town on Saturday, December 8th for a Fontana concert called A Charlie Brown Christmas. That's it for this edition of Weekend Let's Hear It. I'm Kara Lawrence. Have a great weekend.